There's something about returning home. The college student comes home after their semester for winter break and enjoys home-cooked meals, catches up with parents and siblings, and gets to hang out with friends that they haven't seen for a few months. After a week of vacation, you come home, and there's nothing like sleeping in your own bed. I can think of the times where it's been a long day or it's been a long week, and there hasn't been much time at home relaxing for myself to be able to spend a couple hours at home, sweatpants and sweatshirt on, which might knock the breath out of some of you. Don't always wear a suit, but sweatpants and sweatshirt on with legs kicked up, just hanging out is a good feeling. Today we get such a return home. In a little bit of a different sense, but I would say a return home nonetheless in our passage. In Acts chapter 11, departing from the city of Jerusalem due to mass persecution, there were disciples, there were believers that left Jerusalem, and they traveled up the coast to a city called Antioch, and they shared the gospel. They shared the gospel, their belief in Jesus Christ to both Jews and Greeks, and out of this, a church was formed. People came to faith, and they were gathered together as a church. In the church of Jerusalem, they sent Barnabas up to the church of Antioch. If you remember in chapter 11, and he eventually went, grabbed Saul, brought him along with him, and had Saul join him in ministering and teaching this congregation. And we saw the church of Antioch back in chapter 11. It grew both spiritually and numerically. This same church, the church of Antioch, was used by God to send out missionaries in Acts chapter 13. So same church that was formed in this way, sent out missionaries from this church, Acts 1:8, we could say, and we're going to even see more fully today, Acts 1:8 was fulfilled mightily. And we saw in Acts 13, it was while the leaders of the church, they were together, that God called Paul and Barnabas for his purposes. In Acts 13:2, it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And we know from the verses to follow that this work that God called them to here, it was to share the gospel in other places. So not just close by, but they traveled. They went by sea to islands and countries and nations. And further, they planted churches. They shared the gospel, and as people came to faith, they gathered them together in those particular areas. They planted churches with those that responded to the gospel with saving faith. This is what they did as they went from Salamis to Paphos in Cyprus, to Perga in Pamphylia, to Antioch in Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra in Derbe. And we've spent the last couple of months going from place to place, passage to passage, to see this missionary journey, this missionary work. And the last time that we were in Acts, 2 weeks ago, I hinted that they are on a return journey. They head back on a very similar path, and they're checking in with the churches. We saw, and this is where we saw clearly, that churches were set up, but they are heading back to, we saw, and I mentioned 2 weeks ago, they are heading back to their sending church. Their sending church. And today, we consider the passage where they do truly return home. And just as we thought about the significance of their return journey, that they stopped by and made time for the churches that they had been newly started, today we consider the significance of the fact that they return home. They return to their home church, their sending church, the church of Antioch. So today, as we consider the last couple of verses of Acts chapter 14, Eric read the context for us, but we really will zero in on Acts 14, 24 through 28 is going to be our text for this morning, though we will jump to a few other places, and I'll allude to a few other places. We come to the end of this missionary journey, and the theme that we'll consider for this passage is the vital role of missionaries, God, and the church in fulfilling Acts 1:8. The vital role of missionaries, God, and the church in fulfilling Acts 1:8. And we see this in their return back to the church of Antioch and what takes place there. So that's really where we'll get these points. But what I want to do is we're going to be dealing with this text, as I'll mention a little later, in a little bit of a different way than verse by verse. What I want to do is I want to run through it quickly, verse by verse, not necessarily phrase by phrase, but touching on some of the different details. I want to run through it quick, kind of on a surface level, just to acquaint us with the text. And then really the second part today, we'll delve in and get deeper into some of the major points that can be drawn from this text. So the surface reading, just to acquaint us, we find their journey rounds out. So before it comes to an end, we see it's rounding out. If you look with me at Acts 14, 24 through 25, it says, "Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia." So Paul and Barnabas continue to follow the same path. So I don't have a map this week. I've had a map the last couple of weeks that we've been in Acts, or several times recently in Acts. But they're following a very similar path than they did when they first went out. Now as they go back, they're following a similar trajectory, just backwards. And they go through Pisidia, which is in the city of Antioch. And if you remember, I explained when we dealt with this city several weeks back that there were many cities with this name Antioch. So this isn't their home church. This isn't the church that we'll be spending a majority of our time on in our passage today, but it's another city of Antioch in Pisidia. And if you remember, when they were there the first time, they were given an invitation. They were asked if they had any encouragement for the people in a Jewish synagogue, and that in this place, Pisidia, the city of Antioch in Pisidia, it's where Paul made clear that God provided a Savior through Israel, for Israel, and that was Jesus. And here in verse 24, when it says that they passed through Pisidia, we're not given any details as to if they do anything else there, or if it's just really to travel through, to get to the next area, we aren't told. But they do spend some time in Pamphylia. As we find in verse 25, we're told that when they had spoken the word in Perga. What we had known about Perga when they were last there, the only thing that we were told there is actually one of those who were part of their missionary team actually left them. And that was John Mark, a man named John or Mark. He actually departed from them. But here we're told a little bit more of the ministry that took place in verse 25. As again, if you look at verse 25, it says, "And when they had spoken the word in Perga," they proclaim the gospel. They share the good news of Jesus Christ and salvation through him with those in Perga. So as they're heading home, as they are going back home, they take some opportunities to proclaim Jesus on this return journey. And then they go down to Attalia, which it seems that they go down there as it was on the coast to catch a ship to ultimately go back to the church of Antioch, their sending church. And we see as we move on to the next couple of verses, their journey ends where it started. If you look with me again at verse 24, and it's really verse 26 that we find this next surface point. It says in Acts 14, 24 through 26, "Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia, and when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there, they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled." So this time, they don't stop at Cyprus, but they sail right past it to go back to Antioch. They go home, they come back to the place, as verse 26 says, where they had been commended to the grace of God. Where this missionary journey was established, and where the church fasted and prayed, laying hands on them, the church entrusted and handed Paul and Barnabas over to God, over to the Lord as they went to do his will. They come back. And we see as they get back, their journey is shared. If you look with me at verse 26 again, and ultimately it's verse 27 that we see their journey is shared. It says, "And from there they sailed to Antioch, and where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles." So Paul and Barnabas, as they head back home, they get to Antioch. And what they do, it seems like the very first thing they do is not sleep, is not settle in, is not take time for themselves, but they get the church together. Word spreads. They pass on for people to come together. Word spreads. The believers are made aware that Paul and Barnabas are back. And we're not told in the text, but it's believed it had been probably about 1 to 2 years that they were away. And now they were back and the church gets together. And what is of first importance to Paul and Barnabas is to share what happened with these believers in Antioch. We're not aware of any correspondence. There may have been, but we're not aware of any correspondence that had gone on during the missionary journey and with their sending church. But now they take the opportunity to share, we're told, all that took place. And then our passage closes by showing that they remain with their sending church. If you look at the last verse, 28, it says, "And they remained no little time with the disciples." So for a long time, they stay with these disciples in the church of Antioch. That's how this first missionary journey closes. And obviously, as I warned us, that was a very surface consideration of verses 24 through 28. Just to acquaint us with some of the details of some of the things that took place, so don't close your Bibles, but it was just to give us an idea of what we have before us this morning, their travels, the story, and now I want us to dig deeper into the specific participants of this passage. Those that really rise to the forefront as we read over these just couple verses of our text, those who rise to the forefront of this passage in the Word of God this morning that I believe teach us great lessons concerning missionary work, especially, but also great lessons for the Christian life in general as well as we consider our text. So as we go back through our passage more slowly now, we'll consider first the missionary's role, second, God's role, and then third, the church's role. So first, considering the missionary's role. How are Paul and Barnabas spoken about here in our passage, or what are we told that they did? First thing I want to bring out is found in verse 26, but if you look with me, we'll begin at verse 24. Look at what we're told of Paul and Barnabas's role. It says in verse 24, "Then they passed through Pisidia, came to Pamphylia, and when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled." For the work that they had fulfilled. We're going to camp out on this phrase for a little bit as we consider their role. These missionaries are said here at the end of verse 26 to have finished, completed, carried out fully, fulfilled the work that they had been given. What the Spirit called them to, that work that was talked about at the beginning of Acts 13, however they found out what it was specifically, we're told now they fulfilled it to completion. We saw an example in this study over these two chapters, and I've already mentioned it today, the example of John Mark leaving this missionary journey. We're going to look at it in a couple of weeks when we get to a text that hones in on it more specifically. But we got an example of John Mark leaving this missionary team. Though he didn't have the same calling by the Spirit that Paul and Barnabas did, we can still say he didn't finish. He left early on. He didn't complete what this team was sent out to accomplish. Paul and Barnabas this morning, they stand in contrast in our text. They do as they were called to do. That's what this passage brings to the forefront concerning these missionaries when it says, "For the work that they had fulfilled." We're going to think soon about what allowed them to fulfill it, or what allowed them and empowered them to complete this. But for the moment, I believe it's good to dwell on the fact that they finished. They did what they were commissioned by God and the church to do. They did it despite it being long. They did it despite being away from home. They did it despite not many being with them. They did it despite persecution, threats, insults, being physically attacked. They did it despite rejection and seeming unsuccess with some people that they shared the gospel to. And there was a lot. As we think about their experience, as we put ourselves in their shoes as to what we have seen these last couple of months in these chapters, there's a lot that could have caused them to quit midway through. There's a lot that we would be sympathetic to them jumping ship from this missionary journey early. But no. These missionaries were called. God had made his will clear to them. The church had verified this, and so they carried on. They carried out and completed what they had been sent out to do, which I think should be an encouragement. It should be a challenge to us this morning as we think about this phrase that they fulfilled, this work that they had been called to. We should be encouraged and challenged to fulfill what we have been called to do or what we have set out to do in our service to the Lord. Certainly, there are extenuating circumstances that may cause us to stop or have to back out of a commitment, or even God's providence may force us to stop. And that is God's will for us. But as we think about Paul and Barnabas as an example, may our mentality be a committedness to doing what the Lord or what we are doing for the Lord. We live in a culture that when the going gets tough, you get out, or it gets hard, you get out. You stop coming without looking back. You just disappear. You quit. But here in our text, we get an example that we do well to follow in our Christian lives, if it be as a missionary going out, if it be teaching a Sunday school quarter, if it be serving in a specific way, fulfilling that role to an end. This doesn't mean we never stop serving in that area. Doesn't mean that we need to serve in a specific way till the day that we die, but that we follow through on the commitments made. That is what we can see or can be seen from Paul and Barnabas that they do in our passage. They complete their mission given them from the Lord and the church. Second thing I want to highlight, so we see they finished. Second thing I want to highlight concerning our missionaries and their role as they return home is that they give the credit to God. If you look with me at verses 26 and then 27, they give the credit to God in several places, or the text does, as they did. It says, "And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them, and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles." So this point really leads into and transitions into the next section, but at least as we think about the missionary's role, I want to point out here the dual credit that is given in this text. These missionaries certainly did work. They certainly were a part of what was completed on this journey, and sharing the gospel, and teaching the word, and establishing churches, and appointing elders in them. It says at the end of verse 26, as we already zeroed in on, the work that they had fulfilled. And it says in verse 27, had done with them. So the missionaries certainly had a role. Okay, they had a role to play here, but who was using them? Who was ultimately doing the work through them? Who was causing any result from their work? God. Verse 27 says again, they declared all that God had done with them. So God so chose to use Paul and Barnabas in this way. He incorporated them into his will so that he used their efforts and their serving and teaching to bring about such results that came from this missionary journey. And here Paul and Barnabas, I believe, stand as an example to us as we share the gospel. If we share the gospel as we think about the summer missionaries we just prayed for, or as we share the gospel with kids at day camp in a couple of weeks, or with a coworker or the other mom on the playground, and they come to faith, as we as church send out missionaries and plant churches, as we teach the word of God to a Sunday school class in growth and maturity, come to those students, to those hearing, we must constantly have before us who really is doing the work. Who really is doing the work? Who really is bringing results? Not us, but God. And may we declare this, as we think about Paul and Barnabas' example here in this text, may we declare this, may we share what God has done, talking about it with others as these missionaries come and do here with their church. So you think about Paul and Barnabas getting back. There was probably excitement. People were probably so glad to see them, so glad to see them safe. Even Paul and Barnabas, they could have come back and reveled in the attention and the praise or just had a human and earthly perspective, but instead they pointed the church of Antioch to God. And may we constantly do so as well in our service to him and in our missionary endeavors. With this, we move to the second participant of the passage. And as I said, that last kind of section in our first role really brought us into it, transitioned us into it. We focus more fully now on the one whom we just saw Paul and Barnabas gave the credit to. I want us to observe now God's role. God's role in this passage. And I want to bring out something that our passage alludes to, so I think it's fair to bring up, but it's actually kind of goes back to Acts chapter 13. But God was involved from the very start. Not only did he empower the work, not only did he bring them to do it and complete it, as we'll look at in a few moments, but it's important here to be reminded as we think about God's role that he initiated this work. He got it started. He set it on its course. It wasn't that Paul and Barnabas, as we think about how did Paul and Barnabas become missionaries? How did they do this work or go out to do this work? It wasn't that Paul and Barnabas got to just decide what they would do. They didn't just get to choose how they would honor the Lord. They didn't get to declare what they wanted for missionary work and then expect God to work in it and bless it. But rather, and you can look back there with me at Acts 13:2. It's a very key text. So we think about this missionary journey, its entirety in Acts 13:2. It says, as I've already read, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, God said, God called, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. This was a specific work. This was a work that I believed had to have been revealed either further that our text doesn't give us or in a different time or a different way, that it was a specific work that they knew of, that they would participate and ultimately were being called in. And now in our passage, if you look with me at verse 26, again, we are told that exact work was fulfilled when it said that work that God had called them to. In verse 26, it says, we get the same phrase, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. Same phrase, the work. The work, what God had for them, what God called them to, now we are told for the work that they had fulfilled. So in between Acts 13:2 and Acts 14:26, that's the work that God had called them to accomplish. And we're not going to read through it all. We've been through it the last couple weeks, but traveling from place to place, sharing the gospel, gathering and equipping those who come to faith as a church in Pisidia, in Iconium, in Lystra, in Perga, that is the work that God decided that they would do. This is what God determines to be done. That is how God saw fit for Acts 1:8 to be accomplished through them and the church of Antioch. And I submit to you that as we consider missions work today and God's part and what God desires for missionaries, that we do well to zero in on passages in Acts like this to see what he is calling and what he is sending out, what work does he want his people to take up, and how does he want it to be carried out as we fulfill the Great Commission. And I'll wait to share more fully till we get to our last role in our last section as we consider a third participant where this really comes to a head and gets more specific, I believe. But before that, there is more, and we'll actually look at our text now more fully to see specifically what we're told concerning God's part. If you look back at verse 26, it says, and from there they sailed to Antioch, and then I want to hone in on this next part. It says, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. They had been commended to the grace of God. What does that mean? It speaks of God's role of caring and preserving these missionaries that is ultimately brought out here. God's role of caring and preserving these missionaries. When this church sent them out, they placed their trust in God to watch over their missionaries. This verse shows that God's grace was upon Paul and Barnabas all throughout the verses we just considered, the last two chapters. As we consider sending missionaries, as we consider how the Lord might use Lebanon BFC to fulfill Acts 1:8, we will have to entrust our people in such endeavors to the grace of God, realizing he's in control, not us, trusting that he will be with them and he will take care of them. As Lebanon BFC lets go of and sends out our sons and daughters as missionaries, we are handing them over to God's protection. They're not going out on their own. They're not looking out for themselves. You're no longer with them, but they always have been, they are under God's care. God's grace is upon them as they do what he has called them to do. And it's good for us to realize what God's grace upon and caring for his people looks like as we think about what took place for Paul and Barnabas. If you look with me at Acts 13:50, let's think about what God's grace looks like upon these missionaries. Acts 13:50, God's grace was still upon them when it says, "But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district." This grace of God was upon Paul and Barnabas. If you look with me at Acts 14:5 through 6, when it says, "When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country." And God's grace, God's undeserved favor, was at work in overseeing and providing in Acts 14:19 as well. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. As we trust God, as we send out missionaries from this church to share the gospel, as God calls our sons to go forth from Lebanon BFC to be pastors and to proclaim his word, we are to entrust them to the grace of God. He will watch over them in the trials, as he did Barnabas and Paul. He will watch over them in the trials they face as they do his work. The third aspect, so we've seen God initiates, we've seen God's grace and his watch care over them. Now third aspect of God's role in this passage is that he brings the completion. We've thought about the completion, but he brings the completion. We already brought out how Paul and Barnabas finished their missionary work. There's an aspect of their committedness, their following through. But now we see in this passage who brought them to do so. And it's not said explicitly, but it comes right in between two parts that talk about God's role. It's intricately connected. As we think about the completion of this work, it's intricately connected with the grace of God upon them. If you look again at verse 26. "And from there they sailed to Antioch, and then as we just zeroed in on, but it says again, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled." God's grace was upon them to the end. To the end. It was his grace enabling them to complete the mission that he gave them to do. And we also see this God bringing the completion, finishing, as verse 28-27, we were told again that they declare all that God had done with them. The ultimate credit goes to God for the completion of this missionary work. He preserved them. He brought about such endurance and steadfastness. He saw that this work would be finished. God is to be given the glory. As we come to the end of a term of service or leadership, God is to be praised when we come to the end of a time of being involved in a ministry and we decide to step down, decide it's time to give it a break. God is to be credited with seeing us through to the end in an area that we committed to doing his work. Fourth, as we consider God's role in this missionary work, God empowers his people to serve him. Look with me again at Acts 14:27. It says, "And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them." God uses us to fulfill his purposes and his plans. What we find here when it says all that God had done with them, it means he enables and he empowers. He causes to be able to serve him. That's what we see. That's what we see here as we see it was God who worked so that Paul and Barnabas could speak and teach. It was God who worked so that Paul and Barnabas could encourage the saints. It was God who worked so that they could share the gospel. It was God who worked so that churches could be established. It was God who worked so that men could be set up as elders in these churches. It was God who worked so that new believers could be baptized and trained in the faith. God chose to work through Paul and Barnabas. They were instruments to do his will. May we remember when we're serving the Lord that God can and does work through us. In light of this, we should be relying upon him to work through us. We should share with others how he has worked through us. And now fifth, as we come to the last subpoint of this second section, the fifth aspect of God's role that we see is the salvation he brought to outsiders. Look at me at verse 27. It says, and when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. So not only here, as we think about this last phrase of verse 27, is it talking about opportunities to share the gospel, but it's actually the response, it's the salvation from the gospel that is being talked about concerning the Gentiles when it says, and how he opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Those who were not Jews, those with different backgrounds and cultures and of other ethnicities, God chose to save them through this ministry, through the missionary work of Paul and Barnabas. God is the one who saved. Not Paul, not Barnabas, not us, but God brings unbelievers to faith. And further, he does so with those who look nothing like us, who talk nothing like us, who are very different from us. As we consider this faith of the Gentiles, we need to realize that God's people are from all different types of people, all different walks of life, part of many different cultures and places, and it's good for us to be reminded of that this morning. As we've seen now, we've seen this before, but we've seen the salvation of the Gentiles. We've seen this in the last two chapters. We've seen this even further back in Acts, but it's good for us to be reminded of this as we think about our own lives. Think about our own county of Lebanon, as it has more and more moving into it who are not like many of us. People from different countries and languages and cultures are moving near us. And may we realize that God can save from among them those who are not already saved. Reach out, get to know those who are different than you. Build relationships with them, and then share Jesus with them. Just as God opened a door of faith to the Gentiles, he does so today. And as we consider the fourth aspect of the role of God, he uses you and I, or you and I, to do this. Now the third role. So that's God's role. That's the missionary's role. Now we come to the third role that is brought out in our text, and that is the church. It is the local church's role that is brought out in this text. The church is central to God's plans and his purposes. We see this yet again. We've seen it. We see it yet again from such a passage as it's the church that Paul and Barnabas come to. They don't go to family. So as they finally finish this work, as they're finally done with these travels, they don't go to family catching up and refreshing with blood family like we may expect or is normal today, but they go back to their spiritual family, their home church, the church that commissioned them under God's commission. We see the importance, as that is the move Paul and Barnabas make, we see the importance of the church from the fact that these two missionaries go back, as again verse 26 says, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. We also see the central place of the church, or that the church should have in missions due to the relationship we see concerning Paul and Barnabas, Barnabas's work, as they wanted to share that work with the church of Antioch. If you look with me at verse 27, it says, and when they arrived and gathered the church together. They declared all that God had done with them. They saw it as important to keep the church informed. Okay, so they don't go back to Antioch and just tell everybody, as I already said. They don't go back to their blood family, but they go back to this church, and they gather the church, they gather these believers together to tell them. This is who these missionaries reported to. They wanted to bring them into the work that has been done. And this is a relationship that we see continues. It wasn't over after they were commissioned. It wasn't over after they reported, but Paul and Barnabas continued to have a relationship with and even were part of this church, as we consider from the last verse here in our passage. It says, and they remained no little time with the disciples. So it was a good amount of time that they probably served, they probably led, they probably taught in this church. As they come back, they don't move on to the next place, but they stay put. We can see this relationship that they have with each other. And so we come back to what we were considering earlier on in the previous section about God and what work he wants carried out and how he wants it to be carried out, as we consider the role of the local church in this closing section. We can see between Acts 13 and Acts 14, it is the proclamation of the gospel out of the church. The church sending people out to other areas to declare the gospel. And then with this, these missionaries set up churches. They gather believers from their evangelistic fruit to gather in a church. That's the work that God called Paul and Barnabas to. And as we consider such a text, I don't believe this is a unique occurrence. We're not to look at our text, look at Acts 13 and 14, and think as if this is just one among many opportunities when it comes to missions, but this work that God calls them to is missions. It's how God wants Jesus' charge to his disciples in Acts 1:8 to be accomplished. Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. He wants it to be accomplished as we move further along in Acts from Jesus' words through gospel proclamation out of the church and churches to be planted out of the church. He wants this carried out by the church being central. The church, as we saw in Acts 13, should be the sending agency. I'm not saying sending agencies today are completely disregarded, but rather scripturally, we see how God calls missionaries through the church. It's in the context of serving and leading in the local church that this call comes. And the church is central to what Paul and Barnabas were doing as they spread the gospel and people come to faith. They weren't setting up home Bible studies or letting these believers just scatter, but they gathered them as a body of believers. And now even we see the church should have a continued relationship with those missionaries that they send out. There should be reporting and time spent between missionaries and the churches that sent them out. Our passage today really puts an exclamation mark on what we've been seeing in Acts since Acts 13, that the local church is central to the purposes of God. The local church is intricate to God's plans for how he will save his people. We do well to see the vital place the local church has in missions. We do well to believe the gospel is to go forth from the church to the world. And this is such a big deal today, as it's not within the local church or with local churches' involvement that people become missionaries, but they decide for themselves. They choose out of parachurch ministries or through a sending agency. Secondly, rather than seeing how God works and how he carries out his will, people label many different things as missions, looking for many endeavors to be supported under the label of missions or as a missionary. Third, this is such a big deal because it causes us to look within ourselves and consider who will go from us, from this church. It should cause us as elders to consider, is God calling anyone in our congregation? Are we seeing talents, abilities, gifts that God has given to someone? Is God calling anyone among us to be a missionary in this way? The elders should have that on their minds. It should cause each of us here at Lebanon BFC to consider, is God calling me to be a part of this evangelistic work revealed in Acts? It should cause us all to pray that if it be the Lord's will, he would send from us those who would serve as ministries in this way through our local body here at Lebanon Bible Fellowship Church. And then fourth, this is such a big deal today as it shows the important and prioritized relationship that a church has with its missionaries. And I'm broadening this beyond just the sending church, but we should have an interest in those we send and those we put in missionaries in this way. Are we praying for them? Are we keeping updated on their ministries? Do we care about our missionaries? And though we're not their sending church, our church supports a family named the Camille family. And they minister and they're missionaries in Togo, Africa. And I bring them before us today because we're going to actually be doing something similar in a couple of months with the Camille family. On September 20th, Lord willing, Brother Camille will be preaching the word from this pulpit in the morning. And then in the evening, they're going to be sharing their ministry, what the Lord has been doing over in Togo, Africa, over in the church over there that they serve in on a Sunday evening. And I'd encourage you all to mark that date, September 20th. But we're able to do something similar to what we do or what we see in this passage, this continued relationship, this care, this value. And as we think about the book of Acts, we are going to continue to see the relationship of the church in the plans of God, the church and missions in the book of Acts. But such passages as Acts 13 and 14 together teach us vital lessons concerning the role God wants the church to play when it comes to missionaries and missions work, ultimately seeking to live out Acts 1:8 as Jesus' witnesses to this world. So may we walk away this morning with a better understanding of missions. It should cause us to value the church even more. It should cause us to look to the church, the elders of this church, as we consider missionary work to serve in. It should cause us to be interested in and rejoice in the work the Lord is doing through BFC church planters here in the States, through missionaries who are sharing the gospel and planting churches in the world. May God give us a love for his church out of such a text and see it as central to his plans and his purposes for his gospel to go forth to the world. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this passage, and really today as we come to the conclusion of this section, we thank you for Acts 13 and 14 as, Lord, we don't see a unique section or a one-off time of how the gospel should be shared, but Lord, I believe this is the format, this is the method in which people should go out from a church to share the gospel, to proclaim the gospel in other places around the world, to unreach people groups, and Lord, as people come to believe, gathering them together as a church, that they don't disperse, but these believers in these places come together to serve and worship you and ultimately, Lord, do the work of the church. And Lord, even as we especially saw today, just this relationship that we're to have with those that who are sent out from us, those who we support in this way, that go out, maybe not from us, but those that we join in their efforts, support them by prayer and financially, those who are sharing the gospel and planting churches in this way, Lord, give us a heart for them. Help us to pray for them. Help us to rally behind them when they come. And may we show our excitement, even as we think about the Camille family coming in September. Lord, may we rejoice in the work that you are doing over there. May we maybe mourn with trials and difficulties that they face. May we rejoice in how you're bringing people to know you through the work there in the church of Togo, Africa. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see your church, even our local body, as important, significant, valuable to your kingdom purposes. Lord, give us a greater view of you from such a text first and foremost. But Lord, of missions, of how you want the gospel to go forth, of your church, even the role that we can play, either by going out or by staying here and supporting those who do go out. Lord, give us a better understanding of you and your ways from such a text. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. I'm going to come forward like usual, and he's going to lead a hymn that we have sung before. It's not the one that's listed in your bulletin. We chose, or I chose another as it is a great hymn for the book of Acts. It is called Facing a Task Unfinished. And I would ask as you sing it this morning, be thinking about us as a church collectively, not just individually, but collectively living out these words. And may your prayer as we sing this be for the Lord to use us in these ways for the gospel to go forth to the world.